Mary Louise O'Donnell, good morning to
you. Good morning. Wasn't that beautiful?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And full of wisdom as well for all sorts of people. Mm. Now, you have been looking at the whole question of stammering.
Stammering. And interestingly enough, the lads would probably know that people when they sing don't stammer. And sometimes when they recite poetry, they don't stammer, may miss the melody. And in many of the stammerers I met over the weekend spoke about that and how much music meant to them and how much poetry meant to them in the speaking aloud, because in natural speaking, they would suffer from stammering and stuttering. And if you even look at the words stammer or stutter, they're nearly onomatopoeic, and that's why they're used to absolutely invoke what happens. And I was at the Stammering Day, the National Stammering Awareness Day. It's in its eighth year in Jury's Inn, and it arose out of the Irish Stammering Association, which is 16 years old, and with Veronica Lynch, Jonathan Lindlater, Michael Ryan, who himself is a stammerer, and Michael O'Shea, who wrote a book, Why I Called My Sister Harry, about stammering. They're all stammerers, and they were the organisers of this great event down in Custom House in Jury's Hotel. And it raised a lot of questions for me, because when we're here on radio, you take your voice for granted. You know, the power of your voice and the power of all the people who come on the telephone, or the singers, or people who express stuff on radio. And sometimes we take our voices for granted and they're just an instrument and we don't look after them. And you only realise when people have an impasse, or what they call a block, or some kind of stone in their voice.
Is it a psychological thing? Is that why people stammer?
Well, that's very interesting. Some of they don't really know. I mean, it's a brain, it can be dysfunction in the language area. It can be psychological, it can be physiological, and it can be a combination of a lot of things. But you don't really realise when our voices are good and they're up and at it, how psychological it is for people who have this major impasse. And I often think we're very disrespectful of our human voice, that we don't prepare it well, we don't use good language, we repeat ourselves, we use cliches, we are toneless. And it was the one thing I never heard at the Stammering Day, because everybody got up to speak, had to speak slowly, well, on their breath to get their words out, had to use pause, learn how to breathe, be extremely psychologically together to stand up in front of this audience. But they knew they were among friends, and they knew they were among people who understood. But you realise the respect they have for the way they speak, and they didn't cliché their words. They never repeated things. They just chose so well what they wanted to say. And it brought me back. And there was no muttering in the room, and there was no chatting, and there was silence and listening, and because they had to prepare. And so it raises, it's another world to the world that we take for granted, that sometimes, like an instrument, we don't use very well.
So what happened on the day then?
So what happened on the day? We had loads of lectures, which was a great idea. They were all 50, it was 15 minute lectures, which meant that you didn't get bored. You heard from practitioners, you heard from stammerers, you heard from mothers, you heard from students, you heard from language therapists, and interesting students like Karen Nelligan and Neil Walwyn doing work on stammering. A wonderful Romanian doctor, an Irish Romanian young man who had come to Ireland, and he was studying medicine, and he spoke about stammering, how the stammering was when he came to Ireland at 12. Stammering got worse. His name was Constantine Manoli, and he used to avoid words, because that's what they do. It's called covert. You avoid certain words, you avoid certain places, you avoid reactions, you avoid going to the bar to get a drink because you can't order it. So you look mean, or people think there's something wrong with you, or you isolate yourself. But he spoke about getting over the fear. And I said to him, tell me, has your stammer influenced the road you will take in medicine, showing off from the back of the room? And he said, my stammer has no bearing about my choices in medicine, which raised, it closed me down, because why would his stammer have any bearing on it? There was also a wonderful man called Alan McGrorty from Strathclyde, who spoke about the quacks. He himself is a stammerer and a psychologist, and he spoke about all these instant
snake solutions. Oil salesman.
Snake oil salesman, exactly. And about quick fixes and bogus treatments. And he said, if the solution was that easy, what are we all doing here? Because 45,000 young people in Ireland stammer, and the ratio is 1 to 5 in with boys. They have a higher percentage, and it's 1% of the population, and millions all over the world. So it's a very he spoke about how the internet has kind of taken over and said we will fix it for you in 10 minutes. It is not possible. It takes a long, long time. There was a wonderful man called Conor Tiernan from Galway, and it was his first time ever to speak, and he spoke about attitude, and he got up and he said, there's not enough stammering here today because
did he get a good laugh for that?
He got a great laugh, and he blamed his stammer, he suppressed his stammer, he hid his stammer, he hated his stammer, and he said it was like an affair with the dark places in his life, and that he admired fluency above everything, and he said it was like a little child. He wouldn't go to the pub because the child would say, don't go to the pub, don't go out with your friends. So he was answering a little child all his life, answering a kind of a less sense of himself. And he said, every decision I ever made was based on my stammer, and every decision I never made. And we spoke on Skype to a Mr. John Harrison, who wrote the great book, Redefining Stuttering. He was the National Stuttering of America. And they also spoke on Skype to Anita Bloom from Sweden, who said, stuttering is not what I am. I'm a woman, I'm a mother, I'm a worker, I'm a friend. Stuttering is just something I do. I bring it with me like my glasses. And a lovely man called Simon Walsh from Ballyfermot Senior College, who trained there and is now a journalist, and he has a wonderful blog called www.diaryofastutterer.com. Now, he met Conor Tiernan that day, and he met all the other students that day. So it raised the whole question about their finding their true voice and their one voice with the group, the National Stammering Awareness Day, and how they could get to know each other, because one guy was making a film, another guy had a diary on an internet, another guy wanted to get into learning how to get over a stammer. So there was all this community, and they were all very young, and all students and parents and children.
Just going back to I think it was John Harrison, you mentioned the American guy who has written this book, Redefining Stuttering, and I understand his approach is to start examining yourself in
yes.
particular situations.
Very, very interesting. It's all about self-examination, self-observation, observation of others. You know, stammers have a great radar. You know, they would pick out company who will be nice, they'll pick out company who will be cruel. They all have a massive background in the whole area of mockery, because if you are a young boy and you're 9 or 11 or 13, it is the cyberbullying and the bullying that goes on because you can't get your words out. And Patricia Kennedy spoke about this, and she has a programme called sticksandstones.ie, and she spoke about drama and the use of arts. So did Harrison. So did the wonderful man, Dr. Alan McGorty from Strathclyde, because it is all about a sense of self, observation of self, negative feelings of self, social stigma, preoccupation with how others see you, how others look at you and how others hear you. And the middle school trauma, and how you are yourself, how you change words, you isolate yourself, you remain silent, you manipulate, you hide and you challenge because you can't say the P word or the S word, so you're likely to hold back, not communicate, not say what you mean. Always believe that it's what you say, and it's not what you say, it's who you are, and to find that out. And he was saying that self-observation, observing when you stammer most, when you are psychologically in a most traumatizing situation. And then they all spoke about the Maguire method. And the Maguire method, there are many methods, and it takes years. And my mum used to talk about Ina M. Burke, who cured Milo O'Shea, one of the greatest actors in this country, of a major stammer. It takes years. But the Maguire method teaches people to speak on the breath, using your muscles, so that when you speak as your breath comes out. Control what you say. Pause. Relax. There's a whole psychology and physiology, and I couldn't, explain it this morning. But
were there many success stories? That
were told? Yes, and most of them who had got up to speak had learnt this control, but they had done what many speakers don't do. Prepared what they wanted to say, chosen their words. And the more practice and the more practice, I spoke about Toastmasters speaking aloud, and it raises the whole question about what the oral means in education. It's not just literacy and numeracy. It's the power of the human voice and the power to express and the power for young people to be able to say what they mean, who they are and where they want to go. And I keep mentioning this to the Minister of Education. Please put the oral back on the curriculum, because we don't only see, we hear and speak. And the respect these people had for the language and for their voice as instruments, because they hadn't worked just like this the way all are.
It's a tough challenge, isn't it?
Oh, massive. Because voice is inextricably linked to self. And every time you open your mouth, you are on parade. And it's that what they want to kind of amalgamate and be just as and express who they really are.
Mary Louise, thank you very much indeed. Mary Louise O'Donnell with another wonderful report. We'll be back with the news after these.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.